Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/coldslither. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/coldslither.
The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles Treasury Edition. I am tonight's host of the Treasury Edition, at Agent_70 on Twitter. Joining me on this edition of the Treasury Edition is at RoddyCat on Twitter.
Hello.
So tonight we'll be discussing some TV shows that have just ended, where we'll be covering Arrow, The Flash, and Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Just getting that out of the way. So the spoiler bell is ringing early in this Treasury Edition.
That's right. We are going no holds barred on this one, people.
Absolutely. So if you have not watched the season finales, if you are kind of behind on any of these three shows, please don't get mad at us because we spoiled it, because we're absolutely going to spoil everything. So
get mad at yourself.
That's right. So just very quickly, our regular show, the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles, airs on the Click Nation's YouTube channel Thursday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern time. You'll catch our podcast feed usually Friday morning. Our regular lead host is at TimDogg98 on Twitter. The Click Nation's Twitter handle is at the Click Nation. Roddy Cat's news for nerds Twitter feed is at News Nerds Need. And our other regular co-host is at PCN_dirt on Twitter. You can find his website at popculturenetwork.com. The Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles is a member of the Cold Slither Podcast Network and the comic-related podcast network. You can find the Cold Slither Podcast Network at coldslitherpodcast.com. And Comic Related Network at comicrelated.com. So, now that we've gotten the quickie plugs out of the way, let's jump
nail this city.
Yeah, let's jump right into this. Roddy, you're going to have to take the lead on Arrow, because I do not watch Arrow, and I'm not afraid of being spoiled. Let it rip.
You know, here the thing is about this season was, and I think other people will tell you that this was a slightly down season from the previous, although it was still consistently decent. I mean, you know, for whatever odd reason, but I don't want to say not much happens, because that's not true. So, so here's the basic plot of season three was, hey, Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul, whichever way you want to say it, because they still haven't come down on that one yet. is pretty much the quote-unquote good bad guy on this one. What you eventually see on this one is Ra's al Ghul wants Oliver to become his heir, which if
very Batman, huh?
Very Batman, exactly. If you are aware of the other tellings, which I found kind of interesting. What ends up happening is, well, a couple of different things happen. The reason what leads up to it basically is because some of the stuff early on in the season kind of doesn't matter. You see some stuff with Deadshot, and the Suicide Squad comes in and a couple of times. I think Diggle and his wife's, his eventual wife, re-wife, baby is born, this and then the other. But what happens to get to the meat of it is that, we have Michael Merlin also with Thea, you know, because apparently somewhere in here, after the end of last season, when Ollie, quote unquote, died and came back, you know, the other team took over for a while, and then Ollie finally came back, and then Ra's al Ghul was like, hey, I want you to be my heir. So he started putting plans in motion, like, killing the people around, or trying to kill the people around Ollie, you know, such as Thea, which he actually ended up doing, which ended up bringing up the Lazarus Pit, because how else are you going to save Thea, you know? Which is funny, considering Oliver did not get saved that way, which is a whole nother really discrepancy. Because when you fight somebody on top of a mountain, get stabbed through the chest, and get kicked off of a mountain, and still yet live, there has to be some plausible way to deal with that. And it kind of wasn't, because it had to do with Tatsu, who we now know at the end of this is going to be Katana, and in fact has come up as Katana. So there we go. We have the stuff in motion from that. We have Vig getting killed, and Oliver making a deal with Ra's al Ghul to save her by using the Lazarus Pit, which sets in motion him becoming Ra's al Ghul's heir, which does not sit well with his actual heir, Nissa, who's been there the whole time.
Wow. There's a whole bunch of names that you just rattled off. Wow.
It was a whole bunch of things going on. Yeah. Because like I said, even the other little subplots around this are not, you know, I could probably bring some of that stuff up if I remember some of it, but it doesn't, a lot of that stuff kind of doesn't matter, you know? Because you have stuff with Captain Detective Lance, and I say detective because they're still using it, that junk and that joint. I love that.
Gotcha. So how was the season finale?
So the season finale was pretty, I almost want to say by the numbers, but it was actually, well, so like all up until now we have, there's a couple of things to bring up toward that, because after they got saved, and after Ra's al Ghul started grooming Oliver to become the next Ra's al Ghul, you know, Team Arrow was like, nah, we can't, this can't happen. So there was even one time they all went to Nanda Parbat, which there has been a couple of different journeys to Nanda Parbat for different reasons. You know, one of them was trying to get Oliver back from after he said, yes, I'll do this. The other one was, I can't remember what it was, they ended up going back for, which resulted in, well, which I guess was the starting of a number of portrayals by Oliver, you know, for his ascendancy. Because, you know, Ra's al Ghul wanted him to do this, that, and the other, you know, to prove that he was all in for this. And some of that happened to do with betraying his friends.
Okay.
And even one point, you know, killing them, because the flashbacks had to do with some virus that that Oliver and his people were trying to get in Hong Kong, which also brings about, you know, Tatsu Katana at the same time, because it was her and her husband who happens to also ended up been in the League of Assassins after everything went down, which we found out about at the end of the second season. And I know I'm skipping around, so you have to excuse me because I'm getting all of this from memory. So there was a couple of betrayals. It ended up that Ra's al Ghul comes back to Starling City, because the last thing Oliver's supposed to do is kill everyone in the city that he's from, which obviously wasn't going to sit well, but wasn't going to happen the way he planned, because Oliver had a side deal going on with Michael Merlin to help him stop it, but which no one else knew about, and this, which also didn't sit well with the Team Arrow, which caused a little bit of conflict within the group.
Between I love how none of this spoils anything for me because I have no idea what's going on.
Hey, it's what I do. But
you know what's funny is that the commercial looks good where Stephen Amell, the actor who plays Ollie mm-hmm. Queen, says, "My name is Oliver Queen." That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something cool about that, but I have no idea how that fits into the grand scheme of things. How does that fit in?
So let me tell you how that fits. When Oliver agreed to become the next Ra's al Ghul, he had to give up his old name and his old ways, and hence what I was just telling you about the city being destroyed, his old city being destroyed. He had to get rid of all of that. He also changed his name, his name.
So in essence, he becomes... What is that actor's name who we all thought was Ra's al Ghul that ends up dying, but we find out that Ra's al Ghul is actually Liam Neeson? Oh, his name is escaping me. I don't know why.
For this?
Batman Begins.
Oh, man. I totally forgot about that. You're right. Which actually, which I'll bring this up in a little bit, but there's something like that actually happened in the season finale. But like I said, we'll get to that. But it wasn't with Ra's al Ghul, with somebody else who will play into season 4.
All right.
So... Yeah, so what he changes his name and takes away everything about him, you know, just to play out the role. You know, all this time he's got some side deal with Malcolm Merlyn to try to stop whatever's going on. So the season finale culminates in all of this coming together, including a couple of missteps by Team Arrow, because them not knowing this, they're coming to Nanda Parbat to save Ollie, which puts them in trouble because they get caught and presumably killed, which did not happen because obviously, you know, somebody switched up all the, you know, they got out of it. They got better and got out of it. And so come to the season finale, we have what essentially ends up being the plot to kill everyone in Starling City with the airborne virus that doesn't get put out because the plane that it was carrying was sabotaged by Oliver and folks. But Ra's al Ghul was still in the city, and he had other ways to do said thing, because he was like, "I'm going to still do this, and you're going to learn." So Team Arrow had to get back together with Malcolm Merlyn and Oliver's wife, Nyssa, who ended up being his wife because, Ra's al Ghul had to marry his daughter, which, hey, again, sounds familiar, right?
Yeah, right. Talia, hello.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, Nyssa being Nyssa wasn't having this for a different reason, but she had to go along with it. So, which
I'm Nyssa, just going to Talia's sister from another mother, I guess. But
pretty much, who is the Talia equivalent in this universe? Yes, because it never says that he has another child. And obviously, you know, from what we know of the comics, Talia is his only child.
Mm.
So take from that what you will.
Gotcha.
But I love the character of Nyssa because she, during the whole time, even with her readiness and I am this and all that other, and she's had a pretty decent character arc during the whole time because she ends up training Laurel, you know, in being Black Canary.
Yeah, crossing between universes. Yeah.
Yes, they're both black, damn it. No, anyway.
Oh, no.
I know that didn't sound too bad. That's not bad. So... her character arc is good, but at the end of all of this, and I apologize for anybody who's hearing and is like, this fool is just rambling. But
I wish I could focus you. I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's fine. I'm going to wrap this up by saying this. The season finale ended up being this, obviously stopping the virus. There's a fight between Ollie and Ra's al Ghul on top of a dam, which ends up in one or two things happening. Ollie winning, killing... quote-unquote, killing Ra's al Ghul, and him also being shot and going over the falls. But he gets saved by the Atom, or the Atom suit, who is being piloted by Felicity.
What?
Yes, because what was going on at the same time, while they were going...
Wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
They put Felicity into the Atom suit?
Yes. Well, so here's what's happened by that. Yes. When everybody found out about...
Now I'm afraid to get into the show, to be perfectly honest.
No. This is actually good, because what ends up happening is, and I know I'm saying that a lot, when everybody got caught up on the plot to kill, you know, everybody in Starling City... Uh-oh. You still there? Okay. and you still mute it. But so when the plot came about to kill everybody in Starling City, they were trying to find a way to stop the virus and stop it from being spread. So they had Ray working on Ray and Felicity was trying to find out how it was going to be carried out. But and also another subplot was a Mr. Damien Dark, because they first figured out, hey, if they could get to Damien Dark, which is one of Ra's al Ghul's enemies, who was the other reason why Ra's al Ghul was trying to kill everybody in Starling City to get at Damien Dark. Okay, that ended up coming out. So that didn't work out because, as I said earlier, Damien Dark was supposed to be in town. But if it wasn't him, it was a stand-in for him because he had already found out about what was going on, which, again, teases next season because he's supposedly going to be the big bad, and Hive is going to be the big head because they started seeding a lot of that stuff during the course of the season. So Ray was working on the way to spread the antivirus for this airborne virus. While he was doing that, that's when the fight with Oliver and Rachel Gould took place, because they found out that it wasn't being carried, the virus wasn't being carried airborne, it was being carried by people. And they found the people who were carrying the virus, you know, and tried to get rid of them, which that's how they found out that it was going through people, because they were thinking it was people carrying suitcases when they were carrying it in themselves. Cool. So while working on the virus, you know, Ray couldn't stop what he was doing, and the fight was happening because Captain Laurel called Felicity to tell her that, hey, look, I see Oliver and this other dude fighting on this bridge, and they've got orders to shoot, and he can't do anything about it. So Felicity freaked out and said, hey, we got to do something. Oliver's in trouble. And Ray was like, hey, look, it's either him or everybody else. So that's what that was. So cut to the fight. Fight happens. Ollie wins. Oliver gets shot twice, falls over the dam. And that's when we see Felicity in the Atom suit for the one and only time.
Okay. That was funny.
Now, at the end of all of this, everyone makes amends because there was a lot of bad blood in between them, and still was.
Yeah, I was going to say that the clips that I saw, or at least the still pictures that I saw online on Cinema Blend, I guess Diggle was punching out or taking a shot at Arrow for some reason. But, you know.
Yes.
There's some bad blood going on.
It was because when Oliver, you know, had to change his name and become, you know, Ra's al Ghul's heir, he kidnapped Lila.
Hmm.
And, you know, so that's Diggle's wife.
Okay.
They got remarried this year, and they also had a kid. So, right. Obviously, Diggle's upset because, you know, he kept all of his plans away from everybody else, and two, he kidnapped Diggle's wife. You know, to do his plans, because at the time he kidnapped Lila to get to Nissa, who was hiding out with Team Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that, and there was a lot of bad blood between that and, you know, the keeping all the secrets. So
lovely, you know, lovely. Yeah, so that's that. So I'm like, oh my god, what the heck is going on in this? This is only the third season of this show.
It was a whole big thing, and even though, you know, people are like, yeah, this was not the greatest season, there were some good things that actually happened in it.
So what I was gonna say, let's cover the next two areas, kind of like an A and B. So what has already been teased for the next season of Arrow, like within the last couple of weeks?
Okay, so
or even in the season finale.
So in the season finale, Malcolm Merlyn gets control of the League of Assassins because that was part of the deal with Oliver.
Okay,
so we'll probably see a little bit of that. Damien Dark and Hive gets teased because, like I said, he shows up. Well, a stand-in for him shows up. Hive kind of every now and then gets teased, which is pretty much like a Hydra or, you know, whatever of the equivalent of the DC universe. So it's going to be presumed, and this has been said in articles, that Damien Dark and Harve is going to be the big bad guys in season 4.
Okay.
So that's been teased. Thea as Speedy has happened a couple of different times.
Really?
In the last couple of episodes specifically.
All right, so there's no Roy Harper in this show?
He is still in the show, yes, but he ended up being not written out the show, but he ended up leaving because at some point of the show, Oliver got found out as being the Arrow. Oh, as a matter of fact, that's when Ra's al Ghul, that was one of Ra's al Ghul's first plots. He basically pretty much told everybody that Oliver Queen was the Arrow.
Mm.
So, which was kind of, well, not that part was kind of dumb, but the Oliver went, you know, to turn himself in, you know, to for reasons, because Oliver does that kind of thing. But Roy pretty much said, okay, well, we're gonna get him out. And this was a whole little subplot too for a couple of things. He basically took Oliver's place. Like at the end of the episode, he came in as the Arrow, so he was making it like he was the Arrow and not Oliver. Ended up going to jail. Ended up getting killed in jail, but they faked his death. So after faking his death, he left town. But he came back in the, and Thea did not notice at the time because she was too busy being dead for the issue to do. But once that some of that part got ironed out, you know, they told her that he was somewhere else and she went to go find him. And, okay. But
all right, so what are you hoping
left,
to?
But he left again from that because it was like, look, we can't, you know, I got to do this and you can't be on the run, blah, 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 blah. So he's still around, but he's going to his arsenal now.
Okay. All right. So they've already jumped to Arsenal. Okay. Yes.
So he's so Arsenal now. Yeah. And he had been Arsenal for pretty much for the whole season.
Right. So then there's no in between of Speedy.
No, because she had pretty much already been Speedy. You know.
No, but you see what I mean? Like Roy Harper was never Speedy and then became
right.
Arsenal. Gotcha.
Right. That had been played with for a second. And then it was like, no, nah, that was okay. like an in joke right. type of thing.
All right, so I see, you know, you've already described some of the things that have been teased for next season, either through the season finale or maybe in kind of post-season finale. Exactly, post-season finale articles and interviews. What are you hoping to see in the next season?
There was an article that potentially teased Diggle as Green Lantern.
Really?
Like him being... Well, this was rumor and whatnot, and there was an episode after that article came out where you see the club they usually in, and every time you see like Diggle, he was bathed in a green light because they had green lights in the club. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but outside of that, I'm not sure what I want to see. I mean, we're clearly going to see more, based on the end of the. We're going to see more Team Arrow stuff. Like, Diggle left at the end in the season finale, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's not going to come back.
Gotcha.
You know, because he was still having issues with everything that happened.
Sure, so sure,
he
sure.
left. Oliver and Felicity rode off into the sunset. Roy Palmer presumably got blowed up, but we know that's not the case.
Right, because he's going to show up in this Legends of Tomorrow business.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so
and
my question... So okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. So
I was just going to add on. I was going to add on. Basically, are you hoping to see maybe more integration with the Legends of Tomorrow show? Because I know that the Flash appeared in the season finale for Arrow. Correct?
That is correct. Because that was off of the tie-in with his show. Because the Arrow, you know, came on his show at a couple of issues. Like, matter of fact, the same week that episode came out.
Right. You know, because the penultimate Flash. Episode right? The Rogues episode right they where they basically take down the Reverse Flash with the help of Firestorm and an Arrow
right.
So I guess that's that was the season finale of Arrow correct that week
that was that same week
oh, yes. okay so all right so that's cool I mean you know it sounds to me like there's going to be a lot more interplay between these shows you know now that there's literally going to be three of them on you know, going back and forth, right. You know, and that sort of leads us into our discussion of the Flash. Luckily I can at least chime in on this. So just very quickly, my feelings on this show are this, I firmly believe that this is the best superhero show on TV today, the Flash.
I would concur
because for a number of reasons. One, and I think most importantly, they have created a show where we are rooting, actively rooting for the lead character.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We are cheering him on. We want him to succeed both in his superheroic, deeds as well as his personal life. And I think that, you know, of all the movies, I think this sort of mirrors what happened in Captain America: The First Avenger, where we really got we really got behind Skinny Steve.
Right.
You know, we wanted to see him succeed. We wanted him to get Peggy. We wanted him to get over all these things that he had already overcome. Right. And I think they really found something with Barry Allen in this iteration of The Flash. You know, they made him, you know, really struggle with, you know, getting the girl. They made him really struggle with, you know, harnessing his powers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they, you know, the way that they kind of intertwined the Reverse Flash origin into this, I thought was pretty, you know, was pretty novel. Mm-hmm. I don't believe this is how the Reverse Flash was originally introduced. I think that this is wholly a creation of the TV show.
Probably.
I don't know if I'm mistaken.
Neither do I, because my Flash knowledge is a little iffy. So.
Right. So I'm going to go on. You know, I'm going to make that particular statement with the caveat that I'm not that well read in terms of the Flash, but my understanding of the Reverse Flash's origin. And obviously, we're not even going to go into which version, pre-post-crisis, pre-New 50s, whatever, all that insanity, right?
Right. What we do know is that it does, it, even in the way that it happened, kind of follows something, a couple of things that happens in the comics to a point.
Right, to a point. But in terms of creating this, this Dr. Harrison Wells that basically teaches Barry Allen how to harness his powers and to get faster for ulterior motives.
Right.
Motives. That doesn't happen in the comics. So I think that they did a fine job of creating their own story and leading it down a certain path. The season finale involves a lot of reveals for what may happen in the next season. But in terms of, you know, in terms of just the over my review of the season and the season finale, I thought they did an excellent job of creating a Barry Allen that we could all root for and a Flash mm-hmm. that we can all root for. So mm-hmm. what do you think? What did so what are your feelings on the show just in general and overall review of the season and the season finale?
This show continued. I would concur with you. This show was just steadily getting better, and it was already good from the plot because they took pretty much all of the lessons they learned from Arrow and made this. And I think they even said just to try to make this the most comic book of TV shows. And they did exactly that, you know, from Barry coming into his powers to powers to his interactions with everybody else. And, you know, and the stuff he gets through his whatever may end up being with Iris and everybody else. I mean, everything, the introduction of his rogues gallery slowly but surely, you know, all of that played out very well during this mm-hmm. season, you know, and I'm always hoping that this continues to be a great show going forward because it was just getting totally better. And then just slowly introducing to the powers, you know, to the power that we know he has.
Right.
You know, and him coming to and into it was great. Plus, you know, a little timeline stuff and little hints in there. All of the references that's been in
Sure.
That has come in and out of the show has been just great. I love the season.
So one of the things that, you know, that really got me when I said, you know, when I was talking earlier about how, you know, it was just really fun to root for Barry Allen. And I know I mentioned something like this on last week's Comic Book Chronicles was that, you know, it's a real shame that they've got another actor playing the Flash for the DC movie universe, because mm-hmm. I think Grant Gustin did a fine job, you know, in this show. And, you know, one of the more heart-wrenching scenes where I actually got a little choked up, you know, watching this, not afraid to admit it, you know, can't mm-hmm. lie, is that in the season finale, you know, spoiler alert, if you missed the spoiler bells in the beginning.
I don't know what you're about to say.
So basically what happens here is that there through a, you know, time travel and a confluence of events, we find out what actually happens the night that Barry's mother is killed, and we find out what Barry could possibly do to stop this. And you know, if anyone has been, you know, has been around comics long enough to understand how time travel is generally treated, you know, just in science fiction in general, where there's the butterfly effect. You know, if you change one thing, you know, 50 other things could change, and that could totally change the future as we know it once you come back to it. So, if you time travel into the past and make a change, that is, you know, any minor change can have unknown ramifications. So basically, you know, Barry's given the opportunity, the ability to go back into the past to stop his mother from being murdered in exchange for helping the Reverse Flash, Eobard Thawne, return to his own time, the future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, there's a heart-wrenching, you know, scene where I thought Grant Gustin did a phenomenal job. Even under the cowl, even under the mask, I thought he did a great job of portraying how emotional this particular scene was,
mm-hmm.
where he doesn't intercede.
You know, he stops himself from doing what he was about to do.
Exactly. I thought that was that was very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of a gut punch right there. It was like, oh, he came in to do this, and then you see the part where he decides, okay, I can't do this, and
right where he himself is like, hey, you know,
yeah, it's like, hold on, nope, don't do it, and then after that, where he's just taking it all in, and he's still there in the time and hearing everything in the other room that was going on, and just, you know, you felt everything for him at that point, because he was like, all right. Because, again, I even thought, even with that, I thought he was going to say, just, nope, I can't do it. And then just, you know, something, there was going to be another change where he goes back in and actually fights. So don't do something like that. But he didn't do that. He was just staying there and just, you know, took it in until everything was over and, you know, had a very heartwarming scene with his, you know, dying mom.
Sure.
You know, even giving up his secret identity to her, which I'm like, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, all that she's going to be around to tell it to anybody.
Well, exactly. I was going to, I was trying to say it a little better. It's like the way
forgive
I had that.
For being for being so blunt.
No, because I was going to do it to you, and I was trying not to. I was like, okay, so you did it for me. Yeah, and that whole touching scene around that, and then which led up to the subsequent fight, which I love the way that happened. The fight between Thawne and Barry when he came back,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because you know because they cut back to the present time and you know
right
him getting ready to leave, and we see, which I thought was kind of cool, Jay Garrick's helmet come flying through the wormhole,
right?
You know, right. And Thawne was like, well, that's my cue to go, and then he gets ready to go, and then here comes Barry, comes out, you know,
exactly.
And which starts the whole fight coming.
Right. So we've touched on, right. So we just touched on some of the things that have been teased for the next season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the wake of the Flash's, you know, really, you know, well-received season finale, they've already started teasing what is going to happen in the next episode, next season.
Which, by the way, did you pick up some of the images? Because the part we did not say, it was like when Barry was, you know, got up to speed and was traveling through the Speed Force, because they finally say, yep, this is what's, you know, this is partially what's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You saw a bunch of images that flashed, no pun intended,
right.
While he was traveling. Did you pick up on any of those?
Of course. I picked up on that. And I picked up on one of the things that that the Reverse Flash, Harrison Wells / Eobard Thawne, mentions mm-hmm. about Cisco being able to sense vibrational shifts and seeing different dimensions. And he's, you know, he's of a Hispanic heritage. So what DC universe character could Cisco actually evolve into who is of Hispanic descent and senses vibrational frequencies? Who could be?
And has done a lot of tech around sound, which includes giving Black Canary her trademark canary's cry earlier on in the season. Right.
Who could that be?
Who could that possibly be?
And the second thing that you were directly referring to was the image of another Flash, co-star, featured cast member.
Mm-hmm.
No, but a featured cast member who becomes a villain at some point.
Mm-hmm. They do show the flashes of that.
Right. And this particular character, and you know, listen, the spoiler bell has been rung, but let me ring it again.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently they're going to introduce Killer Frost as a villain into the Flash season 2, I presume. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's funny is that this made me consult Wikipedia because it's not like the DC Who's Who is going to help me with this one at this point, because there's probably 50 million entries in there on Killer Frost. And right. I discovered through Wikipedia that there are like 3 or 4 versions of the character.
Right. But this is the one, this is kind of the amalgamation of the main one, I guess. Quote unquote main one.
Sorry. I was just going to say my understanding is that the new 52 version's name, the secret identity, or at least the civilian identity of Killer Frost, I believe is Caitlin Snow. And the main giveaway that this character would likely become Killer Frost that I didn't know because I'm not up on DC stuff.
Right. So quick aside on that, and I did this with Arrow too, because every time there was a reference or a character to come out, I kind of just went and like, all check right, this may be somebody to check the name and see what it's about. And so I knew about Killer Frost, you know, during the whole time, mm-hmm. but I was kind of wondering when they were going to show her, which brings about this, because they I know this is kind of heading up the, well, I'll wait for when we get to the season 2 teasers, because some of the stuff that came out in the series for the season finale was kind of a letdown.
Okay.
Because there was allusions to that, but I was thinking it was going to happen.
All right. We can jump right into that. We can jump right into what's been teased for the next season now, because, okay. You know, we already just discussed, the introduction of Killer Frost, mm-hmm. the likely introduction of Vibe at some point very, very soon. Let's say that's it. I just spilled it right there.
Sure.
You know? Now you were referencing another speedster. Now, were you talking about just the Jay Garrick helmet, or was there something else that I missed?
The only one I picked up was Jay Garrick's helmet.
Oh, okay.
Well, there was also the Flash Museum, but I guess that's not necessarily indicative of any other speedsters.
Right.
You know, but that's just saying that, hey, Ricky's going to have his museum, which makes sense. There was also supposedly a tease of Wally West potentially, but I don't think that was, I might have read that wrong.
Well, let's just get to how the episode ended. Now the episode ends with a singularity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, this is all very Star Trek. You know, I was looking for the red matter and Spock and Eric Bana going into the black hole. So,
well, if you think about it, the red matter was that the when the original, hey, run around the place and hit this one thing, that could have been a red matter, because remember,
right.
He was supposed to hit this one isotope, you know, to make the wormhole happen.
Sure.
That could have been a red matter right there, actually. Sure. You just kind of put that all together.
That's funny. So, you know, it's funny that now we have a singularity, and now the Flash is trying to close it somehow using his super speed. You got to love how science fiction / comic book science works. And the episode ends with the Flash literally running up, buildings and debris that's being sucked into the singularity / wormhole. And let me just, as a quick aside, the Flash is fortunate that the easiest superpower to depict on screen is super speed.
Yeah.
It is the absolute easiest. It is the cheapest thing to portray. They do not have to do that much to portray super speed. So, you know, everyone talks about how great the special effects are in the show, and they are. Mm-hmm. But they get to save a lot of money because they do not do a lot more on top of the super speed. So,
In that, though, they actually put a little effort into the effects and even the practical stuff around the effects, you know? So they have put a little bit of care into it.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not spiffing it up, but the point is it's the cheapest superpower, I think, that they can put on screen. So they really have a lot more wiggle room with their budget. And this is something I was going to talk about with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, in our next segment. What we end the episode on is Barry running into the wormhole, trying to fix what's going on, and he's running towards us, and we go to black,
mm-hmm.
and that's the end of the season. So, where do we think this is going? What's being teased? We've already been teased, you know, multi, you know, like other dimensions, you know, someone running, literally running at super speed through a wormhole, pretty much
almost seems right up here. Yeah. Even though you see, that's the funny, because when they started doing that part, you see him running out the building, you see him running up, you know, hopping on debris and stuff. But then you just see him circling the wormhole, and I'm making circling air quote things like people, almost everybody can see this. Anyway, but you just see the outline of his flash powers just circling it, which at that point seemed like, okay, there's probably some debris up there. I get it. But he is pretty much, it seems like he's
running on air.
Running on air. I'm like, there's no way two ways about it. Because there's no way in the world that all that much debris could be just sitting up there for him to get a good foothold on. But hey, it is what it is. So, yes, we do get the teases of the season two stuff, which we know we're probably going to get. We know we're going to probably get Jay Garrick.
Yeah, with that helmet.
Yes. We know, because Thawne is still... Nope, Thawne's gone. But we could potentially see...
Well, we don't know that Thawne is gone because one of the things that happens is... Well, one of the main way that Thawne is defeated is that Eddie Thawne, Pretty Boy Cop, kills himself to halt the lineage of... Right. To stop the lineage of Eobard Thawne in its tracks. But he gets sucked into the wormhole.
Right. So there's nothing saying that he couldn't come back, which was what I was kind of getting to with he could come back as another character. You know, Wells
Thawne comes back, as the Reverse Flash.
Which they said that because, well, there was, they always have those Easter egg articles after the show. Mm-hmm. And presumably had a ring on, like, I guess around the necklace. Something like he had a ring kind of as he was dying, I guess, around his neck. But that could have been the ring he gave Iris because he had proposed to her.
Right.
Or, I don't know, Wells could have slipped it on him. The Flash ring. We got to see the Flash ring.
Oh, yes.
The episode before, because when they were fighting Thawne, that's when he pulled out the ring. And that was, I love that part. That was great.
Cisco actually asked him about it, too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, which you know what? Hey, exactly. Which I had to read about that too, because I was like, okay, I knew that was a thing, and I wanted to see it, and I was not disappointed in that. But I was like, okay, how did they explain this out? And I saw Red Arrow from that. That aside, I'm not saying that ring he had on was probably that, because who knows what that was about. But yes, we do think he could be saved. He could, but supposedly he could be Cobalt Blue or whatever the case may be, because apparently that in the comics that's what he ends up being. I don't know. Eddie Thawne.
Really? That's who's Cobalt Blue?
Presumably.
I don't know anything about the Flash. I don't either.
But there was, like I said, I saw an article that was kind of say, well, this could happen. And that is one of those things, you know. But yeah, he gets swept up, so there he could presumably come back as something else and or Reverse Flash. You know, one way about it, he's probably going to be back. You know, one or two of them are probably going to be back.
All right.
And there's a chance that it's probably going to be him as opposed to, which I kind of hate because I kind of like the Wells character to a point. Obviously, we're probably going to see Killer Frost. I was kind of thinking leading into season two, what's going to end up happening is time's going to change again. And I thought that was going to happen this time because as he's, dealing with the wormhole, like maybe something happens and then just changes everything. And then that's when we see. Then the whole timeline changed with Killer Frost and, things are different, Flashpoint and blah, blah, blah,
Right. Okay.
So I was thinking maybe the first couple of episodes are going to do that and then they find a way to reverse it or something like that. I don't know.
Gotcha. So it sounds like you're already getting into what you hope to see in the next season. Yes. I hope to see in this next season.
But wait. I don't want to see Killer Frost. That's the thing about it, because I like Caitlin the way she is, but I know it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say it's a foregone conclusion at this point.
Yeah.
One of the things what I benefited from, because I did not Google all these characters' names was that, I thought that these were kind of like a cool little supporting cast. And right. I don't like the fact that they're creating superhero characters out of the Flash's entire supporting cast. Who's going to be his backup at this point?
Which again, the Arrow did the same thing. Yeah,
but who's going to be his tech person? Who's going to be his scientist / doctor? There's got to be support staff where, these characters are going to go on and, kind of become maybe not like lead roles, but they're going to be, like superpowered people who are doing their own thing.
Right.
And they're not going to be around to just, do tech for Barry Allen.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine there's probably going to – they're either – something else is going to get introduced that's going to take care of that. If mm-hmm. they go that route to say, okay, well, clearly we know these people are going to be over here. We know, right. you know, Vab – I mean – Cisco's probably
do they restart? Yeah, I mean, I was about to say. I mean, do they restart Star Labs with like an actual, with an actual structure as opposed to just like these two or three people?
Right.
You know, maybe that's how it develops.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, that part we don't know. Somebody could come in and just take over Star Labs. Like it could be. So there was a character that came in during the course of the season a couple of different times. Who used to be on. The old Flash show, which we might get into that.
Oh yeah, let's get into that.
So this could happen. I have no knowledge, and there's nothing that's been set up this way. This character could come in and take over Star Labs because she knew Harrison Wells, you know, or who was thought to be Harrison Wells. She's just as smart. She has her own company. Like maybe the company she owns takes over Star Lab and
right.
you know. Rebranded something like that. That could happen. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Okay.
If it's decided to go that route.
Right. The rival, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, so I guess we're on to like what we hope to see in the next season. You know, mm-hmm. I think we already started talking about it.
We did.
You know, in terms of what I hope to see, I don't want it to be so convoluted. That's what I hope. To see, I hope that it's not that convoluted. I hope that it doesn't get too
timeline stuff.
Yeah, the time travel. I'm hoping it doesn't get too complicated too fast because you know my poor little brain can't handle it. You know, there's just too much going on. I'm just like, what? Where are these characters coming from? What? You know, I know that there is a wealth of information and storylines from the recent Flashpoint stuff and the various timelines that they could mine, you know, to create stories for the TV show. But come on, you know, let's try to keep things a little bit, I don't know. I don't want to say clear because that's not how TV works. They want to complicate things and then, you know, clarify as they go along. But I don't want it to get too complicated. But in terms of what I'd like to see, I'd like to see Iris not fall into any more I don't want – to see her character fall into a rut. I want to see her develop. That's what I would like to see for her as a character because, you know, there's only so much sometimes that the love interest can do. Hopefully she becomes more than that.
Mm-hmm. Which in a way she kind of already has for Barry.
Right.
But yeah, but I agree with you. I would love to see her character kind of develop. And I know there's a lot of people, or there are some people online who don't really like her character, and I can kind of see it, which is weird because because people were saying the same thing about Laurel on Arrow, and I can also see that. But the two characters, the weird thing about what I think about those two characters, bringing them both up, they kind of play similarly.
Okay.
Or at least have, you know, with the exception of, you know, Laurel's starting to be Black Canary as she was meant to be, but initially, those two characters seem kind of parallel to each other, you know, and I kind of want Iris to now go away from that the way Laurel kind of is starting to.
Okay.
You know? Because they were both like, yeah, they're annoying and this and that and the other and whatever, but no, they're actually, you know, characters with some sort of depth to it, even though Iris's character in the comics is kind of, you know, like she's a wife, but she's still the strong wife, and, you know, this is, you know, she has her own part to play that is big in Barry's world.
Gotcha. All right. What do you hope to see in the next season?
So obviously, I'm excited to see the pieces come in. I want to see if, I want to see the rogues come together proper because now that they are a thing and has been, you know, has been pretty much put together. I want to see that happen. I don't know. I do want to see more on Cisco as Vibe because I've been waiting for that since the beginning of the show. It was like, all right, how are they going to start seeing, you know, teasing that? And his little rival with one of the rogues, I'm pretty sure has to kind of come in at some point, you know, because he's already a real smart dude on the side, but he's also starting to develop his own thing, which is the thing that's kind of weird. It was like when they had that Thoroff episode when Cisco got killed and ended up being, you know, retconned because, you know, Barry did some time travel.
Gotta love it. Time travel.
Kind of one up, which I thought was a nice way to kind of introduce time travel. It was like, okay, that was a nice little small thing to do and then just kind of keep it rolling from there. And then what ends up coming up to being, you know, Vibe, well, potentially Vibe starting to come about because he knew everything. He remembers everything that happened to him or to presumably happen to him every time we find out that that actually did happen. So I want to see more on Vibe. I want to see, you know, I want to see him get a nice little arc bump.
All right.
Like I said, the speedsters. I can't think of anything else. I just want to see. I'm kind of curious about what role Star Labs is going to play in the future, okay. As we were just talking about, because we know it is a thing that is in the, you know, that is in the comic books. And I know that there has to be more than just this one building and one more thing going on, because, you know, that's even been said, including there are a couple other storylines that has to do with other characters that has nothing to do with this. You know, with that is in Star Labs and the whole Superman thing and cloning and da 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 da. We're probably not going to see all that, but I just want to see, you know, what role Star Labs ends up playing in the end of it all.
Right. Okay. Cool. That's cool.
But outside of that, I'm not sure what else I'm thinking about. I just want to see it. I'm waiting for it to come back.
Listen, I'm looking forward to seeing Flash season 2, despite all my misgivings about time travel and the whole dimension things and the alternate Earths and, you know, whatchamacallit, Earth 1275. You know, like, as much as I don't like that stuff, I know it's coming. I'm just going to have to be prepared for, hopefully, a good presentation of it. Hopefully it's very well done and it's not as confusing as it could be.
Right. And the thing, you and I have discussed this. I told you, the way they've set it in motion in this season showed a good bit of, I would like to believe there's a little bit of care being put into it. I'm hoping they're not going to get too much more crazy than, because even with everything that seemed like it was kind of off in this season, that ends up being explained with time travel ended up working out. So if they stay along those lines, I think they're going to do it some kind of justice.
All right.
I would like to believe, I'm holding out hope for that one.
Gotcha. All right. So before we move on to our last topic of the night, I'm going to do a quick ad read because we've been going on for a little while. I think we need to put in some advertisements here. Exactly. We got to pay the bills, people. So I'm going to do an ad for mycomicshop.com. So today's podcast is sponsored by My Comic Shop. Go to coldslitherpodcast.com, then click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, click on the My Comic Shop banner and order from a vast selection of new releases, back issues, vintage classics, graphic novels, and more to be delivered right to your door. Why bother schlepping to the local comic book store when you can order your books online? My Comic Shop through coldslitherpodcast.com. Do it today. All right, so now that we've got the ad out of the way, we're going to get to our last spoiler-filled discussion on superhero TV of 2015, or at least fall 2014, spring 2015. The last thing we're going to discuss is Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has come a long, long way since its first season. Has come a very long way. So how about you start, Roddy, with your thoughts on the season and the season finale?
So the season, I'm going to clarify and say that I am one of the ones who thought Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was good from the beginning. You know, you got to build up on stuff. So I didn't think it was as bad as people thought it was in the beginning. That said, this season was pretty great. It's... we got to see Mockingbird. We got to see, which was pretty much lifted the show from ground level, you know.
They needed another butt-kicking agent because obviously no spoilers here, but I'll ring the damn bell. Obviously, Ward turned out to be a double agent, so they needed another field agent. And, you know, like another lead field agent other than May, who's supposed to be, you know, the cavalry, right? So,
right.
You know,
and
she
the stuff
proved,
is going on with. Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, but Mockingbird, Bobby Morse, proved to be a great addition.
Oh, yeah.
To the show.
You know, one of my favorite characters, I would go ahead and say that, you know, in Marvel history.
Gotcha.
So I was very excited to see, especially being played by, you know, Adrian Palicki, whatever, you know. It was kind of the thing, it was like, I would have loved to see what she was going to do as Wonder Woman, but I'm glad she's doing this because it kind of proves she's just great at what she's, you know, at doing the things.
Listen, she looked good even getting beat up you know,
yeah, exactly.
In this, you know, in this episode, you know, I was just like, damn, she's about to get killed by Agent 33. And she just like takes this pose and I'm like, all right there, Adrian Palicki, I see that. I see you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like, yeah. Exactly. Which brings up a whole, another small talk, because I've noticed the thing, that whole black widow pose that some of the female agents have been doing. Mm-hmm. Like you saw her do it. You saw May do it. I think it was in the second part of this thing where they, you know, they're doing the like side split type of thing. Like you see Black Widow would do when she finishes beating up people. I want to say Sky did it, which we'll get to her in a minute.
Okay.
But anyway, that aside, I thought that was just kind of funny. It's like they're just having these people, you know, doing this stuff, which was kind of amusing, which also brings up another title we're going to bring up later on. Also, during the course of the season, we saw it, this was a good season. I'll say that just to kind of keep it short, because I know we're going to go into some of that stuff in a few. The stuff I didn't kind of like was like the stuff between her and Hunter, because obviously I'm like, wait a minute, no, she's supposed to be with Hawkeye. What are you guys doing?
Then, yes.
Then I had to get rid of all of that because I knew that wasn't going to ever happen.
We're absolutely spoiling Avengers Age of Ultron. We're talking about Hawkeye's wife, you know, in the comics, and Hawkeye's wife in the movies. Right. So, you know, we've absolutely entered different spoiler territory here. So go out there and watch Age of Ultron. Then you'll understand why we're talking about this. But anyway.
Exactly. I mean, the whole shield, you know, the whole real shield and, you know, fake shield thing during the course of the whole season was pretty good. I thought it was kind of slow at times because it was like, all right, they're just playing each together. Who would just go ahead and bring this together and bring on the bigger bad, you know,
right,
whatever that might be. I can't think of anything else. I mean, we saw some characters change more. You know, we saw Gemma kind of get more hardened.
Some development with the, you know, with the supporting characters as well. Mm-hmm. Like we see Fitzsimmons. You know, I listen, I've said this on the Compa Chronicles a number of times. I thought we had one too many British people on the show. You know, you know, I thought that Fitz and Simmons sort of duplicate each other, but they don't. They complement each other, and I think that, you know, given that Ward, you know, was a double agent, and they took him out of the ranks. I feel like that gave the other agents room to grow and room to really develop as characters.
Right.
And
add new people and take up new people that supposed to be new people that just didn't stay but 5 seconds.
Exactly. So
damn good agent who could have replaced Ward.
Trip.
I'm still upset about that. Yeah.
Yeah. But now we have Mac. And what's funny is that they didn't kill off yet another black person. But
and I was like, I thought that was going to happen. I was kind of glad about that. I was like, oh. Because it was like, okay, he's leaving. Because, yeah, because in the course of near the end, it was like, all right, I can't do this. He's leaving. And then I was like, okay, they're going to kill him off. Oh, man, I'm going to be really upset about this. And they didn't do it.
So. They didn't do it. They kept him on. And they made him, you know, they gave him some of the best lines of the season finale.
Yeah. Right?
You know, they gave him an axe. And I was just like, wow. You know, and then when he uses the axe.
Yes.
I love how neither of us, you know, just like, you know what, let's just talk about the show. There's a scene where, you know, like one of the things that's happening in this is that there's a plot by this leader of like
the Inhumans.
No, they're not. She's not the leader of the Inhumans, but she's the leader of this group of Inhumans. Right. Because I think they.
OK, that's fair. Yes.
Right. Because because what she talks about is that she built this particular getaway, this hideaway to protect, you know, to protect this group of Inhumans. Right.
That's right. She's even said there was one time she even said, like, yeah, I'm not the basically essentially said I'm not the absolute leader here, but just.
Right. You know, right.
My people.
Right, so this lady, Sky / Daisy Johnson's mother, you know, she's plotting. She's not the benevolent person that we all thought she was. So she's plotting to spread a Terrigen cloud around the shield, around the shield agents, and then around the world, I guess, right, to see who develops powers and basically kill off any humans who are exposed. So what's funny about this is this isn't. Oh, go on.
So I was about to say what the plot was, because I don't think it was like around She would. She did want to find other Inhumans, yeah. And she wasn't just trying to kill the humans, just to kill Inhumans, but she definitely wanted to get rid of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they were a threat to their way of life.
Right.
So.
Right. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So, that said, she basically wants to expose humanity to the Terrigen crystals, not unlike what happens in the comics, but what's funny is that the Terrigen mist is basically portrayed as being deadly to folks who are not of inhuman, who don't have any inhuman genetics in them.
Right.
And I don't know if that's the case in the comics. I'd have to really take a look at that.
No, because nobody died when Black Bolt, No humans died when he dropped the bomb.
What I was going to say is maybe they're going off of old canon, and maybe Black Bolt adjusted the cloud with Maximus's help.
Or maybe this is a different type of Terrigen crystal.
Maybe. But like I said, they went this particular direction in the movie universe. So they give the agents of a plot to thwart. And, they thwart it, but one of the things that we see is that poor Phil, always catches, the brunt of the bad stuff. And
good call there.
Exactly. No pun intended. ring that bell. Mm-hmm. So I was referring to the axe before. So basically, Phil catches a Terrigen crystal before it can shatter and, expose everyone to the mist. Him and Fitz and Mac catches it, prevents it from shattering. But because of the touch of the crystal to his skin, he starts to turn into stone or mummify or whatever it is that happens. Right. And Mac comes in and does a Walking Dead impersonation. That's what I thought of as soon as that happened. I was like, oh my God, it's straight from The Walking Dead.
Right.
It's just a Hassan chop.
Nice.
I'm glad you got the reference, Roddy.
Oh, man. Yes. So, okay. Now, during that scene, did you not think for a second? Because there was a whole slow motion, the Terrigen crystal drops, and will he catch it? Will he won't catch it? And then he catches it, and then it kind of pauses there for, you have that moment where, all right, he has it in his hand for a moment. In that moment, did you think, okay, wait, is he inhuman? Because he's holding on to it for way too long for what usually ends up happening.
I think it was like a beat and a half. I don't think it was enough time to really see that. Go on.
No, I was about to say, and then you start thinking, okay, now this starts creeping up his arm. And that brought me to two things. I'm like, oh no, they're killing Coulson again. This is not crazy. And then the chop comes in and then just cuts the commercial. I was like, that's crazy. Which also brings up, wait a minute, they just put a Star Wars reference in here on the TV show.
Listen,
like, they did the whole phase two, even with the TV show. That's pretty, that was,
yeah, I'm like, yeah, all right. There's somebody loses an arm in all of Marvel's phase two.
Mm-hmm.
Or an appendage, right?
Yeah.
Like an arm or a hand.
Yeah, so, or either presumed to have lost an arm, but yeah, it was like, wow, they did that.
Yeah. And it's I was live tweeting this when it happened, and I remember seeing my Twitter feed blow the hell up with, oh my God, what the hell was that? Wow. Right.
And when I saw some of that stuff happen, because the day the show aired, I was at work, so I couldn't see it. And I was thinking, and there was all that whole, people were talking about Mac. So I was like, oh no, what did Mac do or didn't do? What's going to happen? They're going to kill us. And I thought, I was just going into it thinking, I was like, they're going to kill Mac again. I'm going to be pissed. And then it turned out to be, this. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, I'm glad that Henry Simmons is sticking around, He's a good actor. I remember him fondly from NYPD Blue. So, I'm glad to see him, sticking around Marvel and, and just being a good stable force for counteracting, Agent Coulson's kind of like, wacky tendencies. Let's put it that way.
Right. Like, he's going to be the one to get up in Coulson's face when he thinks something's going crazy. But right. I totally thought it was like, okay, Mac's going to be leaving the ship. The ship's going, something's going to happen, and then he's going to do one last heroic act, and then that was going to be it type of deal. Because they're not above doing that, you know.
Right.
But that ended up not being the case. Right. Which is going to touch up, not with Mac, but with Coulson, is going to touch up some of what we're looking forward to season three. But we get more on Sky Daisy Johnson and her powers are more developed. She gets a handle on her powers, which is kind of cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see in the arc end with her mom being, you know, the big bad, and her dad, Mr.
Right,
Hyde.
We get some resolution with the Mr. Hyde, Calvin Zabo.
We get to see Dr. Right. Mr. Hyde proper, which was a kind of cool thing.
Right, and what's funny is that, you know, going back to what I was just talking about with regards to special effects, super strength is also one of the cheaper things. But in terms of makeup, you know, I thought they could have done a little bit more with Mr. Hyde to make him a little bit more fearsome looking and bigger. But, you know, that being said, maybe this is just a preliminary formula. Obviously, he's still working on it, and he just discovers, I guess, what the missing ingredient was. Mm-hmm. So even though they basically wipe his memory, right? That, you know, there's nothing to say that the Mr. Hyde formula maybe doesn't mess with his mind, you know, brings back his old personality, his own his old tendencies.
And or somebody comes along to bring, or somebody comes along and brings it out of him.
Right. So somehow that comes back. Mm-hmm. You know, basically they give him the Tahiti treatment to wipe his memory, and we have like this nice little, Fate to Black type of story with him where he's off being a veterinarian, and Daisy / Sky comes to visit him and, you know, says a final farewell before moving on to do her Secret Warriors thing.
Which was a thing they teased in the season finale, but as we've talked about on Comic Book Chronicles, there was this other show with Mockingbird and Hunter that was supposed to be the case. Now, seeing the season finale and knowing that they ended up maybe possibly killing, I was like, okay, that could have been, they could have announced Secret Warriors right there, and that could have been a spinoff right there. Although I'm pretty sure they didn't want to get rid of, you know, Sky, which I'm trying to figure out how to come down on that one, because I kind of don't want to keep calling her Sky Daisy, because we know she's Quake, and we know, you know.
Right, I think they're going to permanently start calling her Daisy very soon.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking also. So, which, hey, sure, we got Daisy Johnson in the MCU. Yeah, you know. But I thought that was kind of interesting that they set that up with, in light of, you know, the other stuff that they had already. I kind of wanted to think, it was like, well, was that a swerve, or did they just intentionally, they're just going to put Secret Warriors as a part of, I guess they're going to make Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. more Secret Warriors now.
Right. I think that's where this is going, because ultimately, think about the arc of the Marvel Cinematic Universe from this point forward. Right. Mm-hmm. There's sort of two things that they're really working towards. One is the Infinity War, and one and the other is Inhumans. Right.
Potentially Civil War, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean that's but
are
I
you saying within?
Right. No, but in terms of the greater picture.
I got you.
I don't think that they're working towards Civil War, because they're at Civil War. That's really the next.
Because Civil War is kind of a midpoint to get to
Infinity.
Infinity. I see what you're saying. Yes.
Right. So they're working towards Infinity War, and they're working towards Inhumans. Right. Mm-hmm. Everything. Yes. Black Panther, Captain Marvel, all that stuff is working towards Infinity War, but the rest of it is really helping to build towards Inhumans. Right.
Right.
So, if you think about it, if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. develops as Secret Warriors, where they're going and finding more superpowered Inhumans, mm-hmm. right? And superpowered people in general to help round, you know, to help deal with the Inhumans, you know, going forward. And one thing that, you know, that we didn't even touch on, right, is how one of the ways this episode ends is that the Terrigen has made its way into the ecosystem.
Right.
Right? And that is likely going to produce more Inhumans, right? And
or kill a bunch of people.
Maybe because it's diluted now, maybe it won't.
Hmm.
Right? So we'll see how that plays out. But that being said, you know, where the Secret Warriors thing comes in is that they're definitely going to be leading. They're trying to build up what an Inhuman is, what makes them, how we get to Attila, how we get to reaching that point,
mm-hmm.
right? So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sort of has like a kind of like a two-pronged approach at this point to lead towards the Infinity War stuff and to lead towards Inhumans. And I think that this Secret Warriors storyline is going to help lead towards Inhumans, and the other storylines, any of the other storylines that they pursue, is going to lead towards Infinity War.
Which brings up the great thing about the show and the bad thing about the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the show started, people wanted, well, why are there no Avengers? Why are there no people, other people with powers, even though we've had people with powers, but not the big people with powers or whatnot. I kind of hated that part about the show, but, well, the part about people's perception of what the show was supposed to be, I should say.
Right.
Because it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not Agents of blah, blah, blah. We've gone over there. That's a whole other topic for another time.
Right.
But the fact that they're doing Secret Warriors is pretty much giving people that. So good for them and good for the show. But what it's also setting up is the fact that, hey, this is the world at large after the Avengers and everything's gone back. So this is pretty much filling in some stuff that could potentially play back into the movies. And they've already shown that, you know, even in little ways, you know, the movies play a part. I mean, in big ways, because obviously, you know, Winter Soldier kind of just changed everything to get them to this point. But at the same time, the show kind of introduces stuff that can go back into
the movies
and have, you know, because they played with that a little bit within the last couple of episodes, you know. So I love that part, and it's for the fact that Secret Wars is going to be around.
Yeah.
Exactly. They even kind of made allusions to Strucker and, you know, the Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch and all that kind of good. So going forward, you have, okay, this is the stuff that's out in the world that could potentially affect and fill in some stuff from the movies. And I kind of love that part.
All right. So, I mean, we see now, you know, and just to finish up with this, you know, what I hope to see in the next season is, you know, more developments for some of these characters that really need it. I think that we've gotten a lot of May, Agent May, this past season. You know, mm-hmm. we've really seen her character develop. I'd like to see Fitz and Simmons really take center stage in terms of the character development. And I'd like to see Mac, you know, really, you know, kind of play in that sandbox as well with the two of them, because it seems like they all seem to kind of bounce off each other a lot. You know, now that exactly, and now that they've put Mac, that Coulson put Mac in charge of all alien artifacts that they run into, you know, kind of, you know, kind of involving him in that, as well as being, I guess, like chief engineer equipment they might have, I guess.
Right.
You know, that gives him, you know, that gives an active role, you know, with the, you know, between himself, Fitz, and Simmons. And, right. and that, I think that little triumvirate is a nice little setup. I'd like to see the three of them really, you know, step into the center for a lot of the coming season.
Okay. Well, speaking of that triumvirate, we don't know if there is going to be an actual triumvirate. Because think about what happens to Simmons at the end of the show.
I wanted to get into that too. Now,
yes.
We'll see what happens with that. We have no idea what that means. Don't know Inhumans enough to understand what it is with the you know that gook that becomes solid.
Right. So going into the next season, obviously I want to see what happens with that, because did the thing. So okay. So let's back up a second. So the underlying plot was that the real S.H.I.E.L.D., quote unquote, had this obelisk that supposedly were dangerous to Inhumans. We don't know in what way. We just know it was there. We also saw it once they brought it out. It was solid at one point and then just went liquid the whole other time. Which right. I kind of feel like it signifies something, but I'm not entirely sure what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So cut to the last couple of weeks, which they did this the smoothest way possible and had my jaw drop when I saw this.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, that was the second or third jaw drop. You know, there's a bunch of jaw dropping moments.
Right.
That was the strength of the 2-hour season finale, was that they got us real good.
Mm-hmm. Because, right, because we saw, you know, we saw Bobby recuperating from her, you know, gunshot wound, which I saw coming. I was like, oh, man, don't let them kill Bobby off the show. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. But we saw her recuperate. See, we saw pretty much the normal of the season. Like, everything was kind of getting back to normal. But I was sitting there waiting. I was like, okay, they're going to do something that's going to just drop. And sure enough, that's what it was. And I was like, I still wasn't prepared for that.
Well, of course not. So we'll just say what it was. So the turns into a liquid. Right?
Right.
And then breaks out of its cage.
The cage was open. Yeah, the cage ended up being open. And I'm thinking, I want to say that Fitz had something to do with it. Because you remember, they were talking right before that happened, and then he just kind of fumbled, and it looked like the lock kind of was out of place or whatnot of that. So Simmons goes back to check the lock because she saw that it had been in temporary, and she got, you know, upset. And that's when the thing goes liquid and breaks out and sucks her up in it and then just goes back solid and goes into place. Yeah, and then it just goes to black. So potentially she could be dead. Or what I'm thinking, this leads into what going into the next season, she's going to end up with powers.
Mm-hmm. Now, does she have a parallel in the Marvel Universe? That I don't know.
Well, I mean, now she does, but because of the S.H.I.E.L.D. book. But no, I don't think she's, as far as I know, she hasn't had one previous to the current book.
No, but in terms of the whole, you know, being engulfed in whatever that could be.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Please don't be a symbiote. Please don't be a symbiote. Please don't be a symbiote.
I know. You know what? They can't be doing that.
Please don't.
But the significance of that would either mean that the symbiote is because related they do kind of allude. Well, there's other species and stuff out there, and they don't necessarily say why this thing is harmful to being humans. Like, maybe they're trying to say, well, the symbiote could just be harmful because it takes over and samples. So I don't know, whatever. We don't know. We don't even know if it's the symbiote.
Imagine but I'm it's a that's not the case.
Oh man,
imagine they've had Skrull.
They've had ample opportunity to bring the Skrulls in, and in fact, I almost thought Agent 33 could have kind of made a parallel for that at some point with her face changing stuff.
Yeah. Because, you know, they're talking about, well, you've been exposed to Kree. You've been, you know, dealing with the Kree. Well, right. What are the Kree's ancient enemies?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which, at this point, even in the comics, you know, the Skrulls are not really that big of a...
Well, not after Secret Invasion.
And I'm not even sure if they still have their shape-shifting powers in the comics. Not that it really matters, but right. I don't even know if they can still shape-shift in the comics anymore. Because last I checked, they couldn't. Except for one or two.
Right, I think they can again. But okay. But, you know, I think that's pre-Secret Invasion. So I think I'm glad that we're having this discussion because I didn't even think of that until just now. Like, I wonder if that's just holding a shape for a very long time, you know?
Right. I don't know how to feel about that. That would be cool if they did that, but that would just be kind of, that'd be a heck of a way to kind of bring it in. But at the same time, well, they've already put in the Kree, so why not add somebody else into the mix and then make it so well, which actually could happen because then Captain Marvel coming down the line could eventually become a three, which they don't necessarily need. But I mean, because they've already set up the Kree, and the Kree was pretty much more, you know.
We already have the Guardians.
Right.
Interesting.
So I don't know. But I'm thinking she's going to end up having some powers if she does end up coming back. Because I feel like the next episode is going to be her coming out of it, like almost like Raina and Skye did out of the chamber. Yeah, I know. It's like, oh man, I love that character.
Because last season they screwed with Fitz by making him like disabled and kind of regaining his facilities, his mental facilities. And now I guess this coming season is going to be them screwing with Gemma and giving her some sort of something to work back from.
Right. Because which makes some sense because her character has been like, okay, they killed Trip and we need to get rid of all these other people with powers. I mean, we need to make sure all these other people with powers in check, which kind of caused a little tension between, you know, Skye, Daisy and her and whatever else.
Right.
So if it ends up the fact that she ends up being powers, she has to deal with the fact that she is now what she did not like previously.
Right. She's going to have to go on the index.
Exactly.
Gotta love it. All right.
So if that is the case, that's good. So going forward, I would like to see, I'm hoping that happens to where she's still going to be around and she just ends up, like, they're probably, the thing they're probably going to do is, like, they're just going to gloss over the fact that she just comes out of it and you just see her again. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what she's going to be, and obviously going to be changed. I also want to see the whole thing with Fitz. I kind of want to see that kind of end, and he goes back to the way he was. And I feel like I have a way for them to be able to do that. But at the same time, it's not really matter because he's still really showing that he's still him. It's just that, you know, the whole stuttering thing is.
It took like a whole season for him to kind of work back. And they sort of quietly dealt with it. They didn't come out and say he's back 100%. They just sort of quietly, you know, made it so that he was working pretty much back at capacity.
Yes.
You know, but I mean, that's kind of disappointing because they did such a, you know, they did such a good job of just kind of making him, you know, kind of forcing a handicap on him.
Right. Right. So if they do the thing like I thought they were going to do and have Sky fix him up by using her power some kind of magical way, you know, which I have seen in a comic fairly recently, and you've seen it too, actually. Then that could happen. I wanted to see. I don't know how far they're going to go with the Deji Dun thing. Is she going to end up running S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, after a while, which I know a lot of people hate because some people don't like Sky. That would be kind of interesting to kind of play with.
Yeah, but they have to give her a chance at this point because now Sky is not Sky. Sky is Daisy Johnson. Now she's a brand new – I hate to say this. She's a brand new character to a lot of these people.
Right, and she's also going to be – we can almost assume that she's going to be leading up the Secret Warriors project.
Right, right. Know. So I think that that's going to be, you know, a big part of the show. Like I said, there's going to be a definite two-prong approach to this. You know, one is the Secret Warriors leading into Inhumans, and one is going to be, whatchamacallit, you know, everything that leads into Infinity War, you know, if anything. You know, I think the majority of the show is going to be leading into Inhumans.
Mm-hmm. And there's one more smart part that I think should be addressed, and I'm hoping they do it this way. We already talked about earlier, Coulson lost his arm, which could set up the fact that he gets a cybernetic arm.
Oh yeah, he talked about. Well, I'm looking into some things. Like he literally says that. I'm like, okay, I wonder what they're gonna do for Phil.
Which is exactly what I was thinking. I was like, okay, cybernetic arm, which could open up Misty Knight. That's all I'm gonna say. Well, obviously she's not gonna be on this show. I mean, she's probably not gonna be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We have the whole Netflix stuff with Daredevil and the whole Defender stuff, which I'm hoping she shows up on, which could potentially happen. So somewhere in there, either she's going to have her arm or not have her arm. But they still, and we already, and being that it's already tied to Winter Soldier, and we see, you know, Bucky with his arm, we already know stuff like that exists.
Right.
So it's still not a big thing, but I kind of would want to see it. Or they find a way, like even, oh wait, I just thought about it, because Age of Ultron had it where they had Helen Cho, Amadeus Cho's mom, who was doing something with synthetic skin. Remember? So maybe he gets.
I didn't even know that was. I did not know that was Amadeus Cho's mom.
That was Amadeus Cho's mother. I had to look it up myself. So I didn't. Yes.
Wow.
But she's dead in the comics. So the fact that they put her in there was like, huh, okay.
Interesting.
So there's also a potential we could. I mean, depending on how if they decide to go that route, we could see Amadeus Cho show up in the movies. We don't know.
I mean, I caught the last name. I did not realize that was his mom. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So, potentially he could get that tech and maybe marry it with a cybernetic arm. We don't know, because, I mean, obviously that was synthetic skin, and she did have a hand in making Vision. So,
Interesting.
But which is a small thing, but it also opens up for him to do more, because obviously, you know, he's Coulson and he has his train and whatnot, but he'll also have his arm that he could do other things with if they chose to do that.
Crazy.
Outside of that, I'm not sure what else I'm looking forward. I would, even though they said, so potentially Mockingbird is out. I don't know. Or maybe it's the fact that, because remember that her and Hunter was talking while she was, you know, convalescing. And she was like, I can't do this anymore. But we have no idea of what she was talking about. She could have been talking about, I don't want to be S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, or I don't want to lie to Hunter anymore. We don't know exactly what that was. So, but I'm hoping she's going to continue to play a part in S.H.I.E.L.D. because she was really good for the show.
Right.
I'm not sure what else to look forward to going forward, because I just want to see. Oh, Ward, I'm glad they didn't just straight up, because I had a fear that they were going to say, hey, Ward, you did some bad things, but now you've been redeemed.
Oh, yeah.
And I really hope that they weren't going to do that. And it seemed like they are not. In fact, there was an article I saw a while ago, presumably saying that, hey, he could be the Taskmaster, maybe, which
I think that's kind of a spread. Yeah, I think that that's not the worst thing in the world.
Exactly.
I think that from what I've read, Ward is supposed to be the big bad for the next season because he's essentially taking over what's left of Hydra.
Yes.
Because Hydra is basically decimated in Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things that comes out of Age of Ultron is that Strucker dies, Dr. Lyst dies, and you know
all the other people, the heads of pretty much all the other in the season.
Exactly, all the other ones have been taken care of earlier in this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, you know, what's strongly implied is that Ward is going to be reforming Hydra. So, I don't know if there are any parallels to characters from the Secret Warriors run that Hickman wrote. Where, you know, there's a character that basically takes over Hydra. I don't know if this is the Kraken. I don't know if this is, you know what I mean? I don't know if this is supposed to be any of the other characters. That's interesting. Now I'm going to have to go back and reread Secret Wars to see which character they might use.
I'm thinking it may be the Kraken because they even, I hadn't read Secret Wars in a long, long, and I don't remember half of it. So, I'm gonna have to do that as well, but I'm thinking the way they've been naming stuff into with the centipede and kind of this all this other stuff that they've been kind of naming around. I would imagine they could do that and they would do that.
Right. Interesting. All right. Well, listen, we've done a lot talking about these three shows. You know, we've delved a lot further into these things than a regular episode of Comic Book Chronicles would ever allow. You know, and if we had any more hosts of the CBC on this, I think we'd still be talking about, you know, about these shows. So
probably.
I'm glad we're able to
get it. I want to say real quick, we're not talking about Gotham because I think we've already said that during the course of a Comic Book Chronicles, and there's really not much to say about Gotham right now. That's the great show. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. If you go into it in a certain way, it can be a potentially good show. But the thing they've been doing with it has been just out crazy.
Listen, it's not like we talked about Constantine. So,
well, that too. Yeah.
Listen, we'll see how Supergirl goes. Maybe we'll have to do a Treasury edition when that finally ends up.
Did you see the pilot?
The whole pilot?
Yeah, because it leaked online. Apparently,
what?
Yeah, that's really? it's in the CBC doc for this week, but I don't know. But yeah, apparently a couple of days ago, the full pilot leaked.
And in torrents of bits, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness! Listen to that. I don't know if I want to watch that. I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about that on this week's episode of the Comic Book Chronicles. It'll be this Thursday night. 9 p.m. Eastern. Rod, are you going to be around?
Will not, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
I believe this Thursday night will mark the return of Tim Dog 98 to the Comic Book Chronicles after a couple of weeks off of rest, relaxation, recuperation, and regeneration. So, you know, and hopefully PCN underscore dirt will be around and hopefully I'll be around. So look forward.
Gonna be around, so.
What's that?
I think Dirt said did say he was going to be around. I think.
All right.
I
don't you know, anyone listening into this or watching this Treasury edition, be sure to listen in to our regular show, Comic Book Chronicles, on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Make sure to follow the Click Nation at The Click Nation on Twitter. Make sure to follow Roddy Cat at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Knee. Make sure to follow myself at Agent underscore 70 on Twitter. And with that, this is the Comic Book Chronicles Treasury Edition, and we are signing off.
Happy Memorial Day.